This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can we bring in an arbiter, someone to help settle the debate once and for all?
Perfect. We have Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston, who is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing this week?
I'm great. How are you boys?
Well, good, I'm getting mocked and beat up by Ted Johnson this show.
No.
So we'll start there. We're having fun. He's having fun bullying me. But Tom, the basic root of our argument is I said I feel like somewhere along the lines the Patriots got overrated, or I've seen others use the word overhyped this offseason. I've seen a lot of predictions now that the schedule's out for 10-plus wins and playoffs. Am I way off basis? Or are people setting themselves up for disappointment? What are your thoughts on sort of where the Patriots are right now in their hype?
I went through this with Phil last night a little bit. It was ironic because I kept reminding him he was being a little too optimistic. They were 32nd in the NFL in sacks. They were the worst offensive line in the league. They had the worst wide receiver room. That's not all going to magically go away by Columbus Day. It's going to take some time. That first 4 weeks, I'm looking at 2-2, hopefully. But, you know, you could look at any of those games they could lose. They could lose Carolina. Phil was convinced that they're not going to lose to Pittsburgh at home. I'm like, my God, why not? They'll probably have Aaron Rodgers. So, but when it was all said and done, we both had them at 9-8.
Even after all that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Tom, because, like, you know, when you look at what are indicators? You know, is it, do you look at, okay, what the Patriots' opponents, quarterbacks, you know, is that one of the, what are your main things that you look at when you're trying to figure out wins and losses?
Home.
Yep.
They should be able to play better home. They've won really, literally two games at home in the last 2 years. You can't even really include the Buffalo game.
Yeah, please don't.
Two games. They've won two games in 2 years. They have to be better at home, and they should be. They have a very kind home schedule. So I look at that as an indicator. The quarterback, we went through it. Drake May is better than 11 of the quarterbacks he'll face. We do not have him better than Geno Smith at the beginning of the year. First year, first time with McDaniels. So, but other than that, there were 11 quarterbacks that he was better than in our, you know, whatever, our analysis, our evaluation of it. That could change, you know. He's got to improve. I'm presuming improvement. So it's those two things are big, and the fact that the defense should be rebuilt and not get rototilled on a regular basis, and that they should be a better coach team with more coherence. And also I'd add this last thing too, Ted. The sense of urgency, I think, that is kind of being infused right now, as opposed to Bill in 2022, Bill in 2020, Gerard last year. There was kind of a, well, we'll see how it goes. We'll play this out. You know, it's a reset year. I don't really think that they're pretending that it is right now, even though it kind of is a rebuild season still.
Yeah, Tommy, it's funny because my question to you was going to be, having listened to some of the pod with you and the senator, you spoke of this renewed sense of urgency at practice, in the locker room, on the field, and why and where you thought that was coming from, and why in the world it wasn't there the last couple of years.
Well, 2022 was a year in which they had no offensive coordinator nor a plan for offensive coordinator, and I think that, that Bill operated on a, well, how bad could it be? You know, we're a smart group. We can coach offense. And the alienation of the quarterback led to what happened in 2023, where, you know, it was just dysfunction. So I just don't think that the urge, so that was basically a year, we'll get out of this kid and we'll move on to somebody else in 2024, which they did, but Bill wasn't part of it. And then last year, I mean, they basically announced, this is a rebuilding year, it's a foundational year, it's a building year, which I personally was okay with the notion of it, as long as they closed strong. But I think all year long, excusing things as being growing pains and slow playing really, I guess, standards led to a decline down the stretch. So to me, I think that a lot of it has been tied to their circumstances, and they've allowed themselves to make excuses or take excuses. They were sitting there and saying, it's going to take a minute. And I don't think that they're at least outwardly doing that. I do think that among the coaching staff, I'm sure there's some trepidation about how exactly things are going to work out in individual situations. Like, how's Garrett Bradbury going to be, for instance? How's Morgan Moses going to be? Those are things you have to be concerned about. But outwardly, they're very urgent in terms of setting their expectations. And I think that Milton Williams quote, when he was doing the conditioning run and he was coasting because he was going to finish well ahead of what he needed to, and Vrabel being on him for that, I think was indicative of that.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, you know this, when there's a shiny object that's either available or might be available, we ask you about it. So the latest version of that would be Trey Hendrickson went vocal with his displeasure with the Bengals. Seems like it's almost personal now with his head coach.
Yeah.
Any chance the Patriots would have interest in that? Any chance he's actually available? Any chance we could dream about that? You mentioned the pass rush being a weakness earlier. It'd be nice to add 17 sacks.
Yeah, they've added, you know, Landry, who I think is really a little underrated. You know, people looked at him as being the kind of the head-scratching free agent signing. But to me, I look at their pass rushes should be significantly improved. So Hendrickson, they got the room. They didn't spend it all in free agency. It would be interesting to see if they would make a move like that, because he's going to be obviously a huge ticket item with probably a Bosa-type contract or in that neighborhood. So it would be – I haven't heard anything on that, to be honest, but I wouldn't say that they should be closed for business. They should be among the teams who would be looking to improve still because of their cap situation.
Hey, Tom, I'm curious. Just, you know, I get excited about the schedule. Me and Fitzy, Andy can take it or leave it, but I'm just curious. Like, you have any like kind of big takeaways? You know, the fact that they've got three primetime games this year, or that they only 15 of their games are in the Eastern time zone, which is incredible to me. Any other takeaways that from the schedule that piqued your interest?
Those three road games in a row, that's a tough little stretch. The late bye, I think, is also worth mentioning. It doesn't come until December 1st. So those are things, and also the late Thursday night game, so you don't get one of those quick turnaround 10-day breaks either until a little bit later in the season. So I think all of those are things to look at that they'll circle. But I really like that opening game with the Raiders, because it's not like the revenge games. Ted, I was doing a thing today, 17 subplots for 17 games, and the first one I went to was the Raiders. And, you know, we'll jokingly call it the Jacoby Myers revenge game and the ties that go back and forth. When you think about revenge games, we've had some great ones here. Fitzy, you'll remember.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you will, Andy. Like Carlton Fisk coming back in 1981. Mm-hmm. With the White Sox, hitting a home run all the Roger Clemens games, but I don't think there was any more electric revenge game than Tuna Bowl 1 in 1997, Ted.
Yeah. Oh, that was, so, are you kidding me? That was as good as it got.
That was an unbelievable game.
Yep.
And is there, Tommy, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say that Raiders game will be interesting because Patrick Graham is their defensive coordinator. McDaniels hired him. He has stayed through the entire time, so it'll be McDaniels against Patrick Graham. And my guess is that McDaniels will not show anything in training camp or the preseason, but it'll be a very interesting first week to see what they'll unveil with Drake May and their offensive game plan.
And then also, Tom, you got, you know, Pete Carroll. Had 3 years here and didn't work out. So Pete Carroll too,
Super Bowl 49 as well. It's Ashton Gentry's debut game. Tom Brady, partial owner. I mean, will he be there Saturday if there's a statue unveiling? Tommy, to me, that's as juicy. I freaking love the opener as well, and I love the schedule too. But I want to see if we can get you in this. So Andy and Ted had a zesty discussion earlier about with Ted asking Andy, like, do you think there's any one room, any one grouping that the Patriots have not gotten better at, from coaches to tight ends, wide receivers, offensive line, et cetera? So I ask you, Tommy Curran, do you think there is any one positional grouping, room, et cetera, the Pats have not improved in this offseason?
Tight end.
That's what I said.
That's what Andy said.
Status quo. They stayed status quo at tight end, I think. Quarterback, they might have gotten a little worse, I think. I think Jacoby Brissett's probably better than Josh Dobbs, and they don't have a third quarterback like Joe Milton at the moment. You got to presume that Drake May will be better, though. Running backs better. Wide receivers better. Offensive line's better. Defensive line should be a hell of a lot better. Linebacker, that'll be an interesting, you know, place to measure how much better they'll be, who will be the signal caller defensively. With Bentley gone, would they go with Savai again as their signal caller? So I think those are all interesting places to look at. Safety, they signed a kid, Marcus Epps, who should be a free safety. It'll be interesting to see where they go with Mapu. But I think that generally they've improved. What about slot corner? What do you think?
Yeah, with John Jones gone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we were thinking secondary overall with safety,
Mark
health,
Jones,
and the
Marcus
outside
Jones
corners.
At the nickel.
Yeah, but you're better on the outside. With
Alex
Carl
Austin
Davis.
Maybe could step in.
Yeah.
Tom, before we...
Carl Davis.
Yeah,
Carl Davis is there.
Before we let you go, I don't know if you care about this. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but we all know these videos that the NFL teams put out are a big deal. They all put them out to varying degrees of success. Some have to then pull them down and apologize for them. What are your thoughts on the videos in general, and what did you think of the Patriots video that they put out?
They're fun if you do a good job. Otherwise, they're just hokey.
Yeah.
Was it the Jaguars who used the singer Sabrina Carpenter?
No, the Jaguars used, their schedule release was the Ashton Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of
whoever
badass.
Whoever used the Sabrina Carpenter thing that was a stretch. It was a TikTok video.
Yeah.
Didn't really amuse. If it's funny, great.
Yeah.
And no one knows that better than me. If it's not funny, it's not great. I've watched many Quick Slant shows and, that's not funny. Don't do that again.
Hey, I'm curious, Tom, are you going to be watching GMA tomorrow morning?
No.
Okay.
I will watch the highlights, certainly, but I'm not setting that. I'll watch the PGA before I watch that.
You think anything comes out of that? You think anything good? I mean, how do you feel? Oh, that's
going to
go.
It's going to be so fawning and cozy, and he'll be calling him coach and all that.
Yeah.
You know. Eh.
I know. We can all,
that's how about how sums up how I feel.
No, I'm with you, Tom. I can only handle so many now Belichick revisionists. Like, there's a new conversation between he and Dabo that's moderated by Reese Davis. Like, the apology tour and, you know, the whitewashing of what's gone on is just bananas. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. So, okay. But I'll be interested to hear what he says. I mean, there's only so long you can talk about, you know, the 80s Giants and the 90s Patriots and how you had to prepare for Tom because he was always going to be so prepared for, you know, your meetings with him. I mean, he needs a very successful year. I'll ask you this, and you can bat this around. I find this an interesting conversation. Is the door completely slammed shut and sealed that Bill will never return to the NFL? it kind of feels that way.
Yes.
It would feel like he's radioactive.
Yep.
However, it was presented to me, all the Tar Heels have to do is go 13-1 and qualify for the BCS, and all that other stuff goes away.
All right,
probably,
Tom Curran,
right.
You're probably right, but all I have to do is be a better jumper and dunk, yeah, and then they'll think I'm a better athlete.
Grow five more inches.
Grow five more inches, and I'll be in the NFL with Ted. We'll talk to you next week, Tom Curran. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. See ya.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll react to a couple interesting things he said, including I feel like the tone of his answer on the Patriots being hyped, leaning a little to the Andy side of the spectrum. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That is Jaylen Brown post-game, and Celtics did indeed find a way to win, find a way to stay alive, and Game 6 is tomorrow night. And did Jaylen Brown exceed your, when it comes to that leadership role, did he exceed your expectation? Was he what you thought he was? Has he always been the co-leader of this basketball team? Is there a leadership void in the absence of Jason Tatum?
No, he did exactly what I expected him to do. Is now you take the wheel and you go out there and you know he's always been the vocal voice and the vocal kind of leader of this team. But he did exactly what I expected him to do. It's more about performance. That's it. I don't need a guy to be rah rah or anything like that. I need to see a guy perform. Right.
I know you don't need that, but I think a team needs that. I think that certain teams, especially when you lose your best player, need that rah-rah. I think they need a leader in that locker room.
But that's him, right? Right. If there's somebody in there, whether it's Al Horford or whoever, I don't need the best player to be that guy. I just need the best player to go out there and show why he's the best player on the court.
Curtis, pull up on our social media on who the MVP was last night, on the WEI social media on who the MVP was last night.
That is correct. Least valuable was Reggie Miller. most valuable options were Kornet, Derek White, or Jaylen Brown. Luke Kornet took 53% of the vote, Derek White 26, and Jaylen Brown 21.
I mean, Kornet had a great game. Don't get it twisted.
People are just picking him because they like him.
Yeah, but I would say I would say that, you know, when you look at Jaylen Brown and what he was able to do as far as assists and rebounds and the energy, you know, Derek White had a great game when it comes to points. But for me, I would say that, you know, Jaylen Brown, even though he started a little slow, was, you know, a big part of why you won, along with Derek White. But, you know, I just give the nod to Jaylen because he does so much more than every other player. And that's what you have to do when you're in that role. You got to do more than every other player. You might not score as many points, but you're going to, you know, lead the team in rebounds. You're going to lead the team in assists. You're going to, you know, be there when it comes to scoring. So
I need to get a doctor on, Greg, to figure out how Jason Tatum at peak physical condition lands on his leg and ruptures his Achilles, and Wiggy jumps up and down and gyrates for 30 minutes and has no injuries whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Achilles.
You got the gyrating. Where's the jumps up and down part? Like, I'm not really getting...
No, I want jumping.
Not getting off the ground really at all.
It's more like a skip.
Maybe...
You had some moves, though. You were mirroring them pretty well.
I was trying to catch the beat. I don't have much rhythm, so when I could try to catch the beat...
You catching that beat was like N'Keal Harry.
Yeah. But when you catch it, though, I don't know how they go out and fight wars after that.
Right.
I was gassed.
Great job by Mitch here. I mean... Immediately grabbing that other video. What is that from?
European Vacation.
Mm. Yeah.
Great movie.
Looks good on Twitch and looks good on YouTube. And this show on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. And they are the diamond experts. They'll not only sell you a diamond and give you the very best price, but teach you everything you need to know about diamonds. So go see them at Springer's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, if you need a diamond.
Yeah.
So, on the Patriots schedule, this is Randy from Providence. Randy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you down there today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited with the schedule released last night. I think it looks like good news for the Patriots. Like, we already knew the opponents, right? So, we already knew it was going to be the schedule, like, the opponents that it was. But I think the two games that really caught my eye, the Raiders coming into New England in week one, like, that's an early game at 1 p.m. And I was looking back through Ashton Gentry's history at Boise State. He only traveled to the East Coast Eastern time zone once in his college career, and that was for a 4 p.m. game. And, I mean, that can make a difference for West Coast kids and stuff, you know? So that's an offense we think is probably going to be running through the running back, running through him. And then the other game that really caught my eye was the week 12 against the Bengals. Like, it's a little ways off, but hopefully, fingers crossed, we'd be coming off a home win against the Jets and have 10 days before that Bengals game. While the Bengals, on the other hand, are playing the Steelers the week beforehand, regardless of the quarterback situation, those are always hard-fought games. And then, more importantly, they're playing the Ravens on Thanksgiving 4 days after the Patriots game. So they might be looking through the Patriots, or at least think it's going to be the easiest of three games in an 11-day span.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots will have Trey Hendrickson to be able to go out there and get a bunch of pass helps against his former team.
Elliot Wolf is furiously working on that.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
And Greg, I'm not going to overreact to a Bengals win again. So even if they win next year, I'm going to say no big deal. Doesn't mean anything long term. I learned my lesson.
That'll be different. And then Aaron Rodgers coming to Gillette week three. Boss man pointed that one out with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, if
he's, gonna sign with the
Steelers, if he's going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes.
He will, though.
He's got to sign either today or tomorrow to prove.
No, he doesn't.
Well,
he doesn't.
That's what everybody said. They said he was waiting for the schedule release.
He doesn't. When if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and honestly, and you're a playoff team, they were a playoff team last year, and they were a playoff team with Russell Wilson and a mix of Justin Fields. You're sitting there. You just, you know, went out and got DK Metcalf. You're a team that's, you know, Mike Tomlin is trying to get over the hump, and you've kind of had this relationship with Rodgers. There's no way you decide to go, all right, we're a playoff team, but we're going to go with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard.
Okay, so just explain to me what he is waiting for. He has one. He only has one offer, one legitimate place that is interested, where he's going to be a starter.
Yeah, I think maybe he's waiting for the very right up until training camp starts to show up. You know, I don't know.
Why?
I have no idea.
Because he's a narcissist.
Oh, he probably wants more money. If you're Aaron Rodgers.
But he already came out. He screwed himself. He came out and said he'd take $10 million.
Yeah, that was,
so if I'm the Steelers, I'm like, all right, we'll offer you $10 million, and if you don't take it, then I would be
Courtney,
done with
that,
him.
That was before the draft. If you're the Steelers, where are you going?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're the Steelers.
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. Chime, be honest. Where are you going,
Wiggy,
if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Mike Tomlin won, what, 9 games just a couple seasons ago with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Like, he can do it again. He doesn't care.
I would bet double or nothing tattoos on my head that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback of the Steelers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's going to happen, but I think that this holding out is just a
probably wants
move.
More money, right? He knows
he's coming off an Achilles, and he's like 80 years old. No, what are we talking about?
He had the Achilles 2 years ago, but he knows
he has all the leverage over the Steelers. Right. Who are they going to have as their starting? And if you say Mason Rudolph, that gives Aaron Rodgers another $3 million.
Right. So, and you're not, Will Howard was the 6th-round pick, the kid from Ohio State. So, you know, he's just basically, they took a flyer on him. You're a playoff team. If the Steelers weren't very good last year, then I would be like, okay, they don't have no expectations. Don't you think that Pittsburgh Steelers team has expectations about making the postseason? And granted, I know that Rodgers didn't have a great season last year. But you got to be, if I'm the Steelers organization, I'm like, all right, maybe he has one more shot left in him. Why wouldn't we do that?
Well, so what do you think? What is your guess at the number he is holding out for?
I bet he wants probably like, what did Russell Wilson get, $20 million? I bet he wants like $20 million. I bet that's what he's looking for. You know, I bet he's looking for somewhere $20 million. I know he said the 10 M's thinks Courtney, and that's probably before the draft. And now that he's seen that Pittsburgh didn't do anything, he's probably like, well, wait a second. Yeah, I know I said 10 M's, but I really want 20. And Pittsburgh, they got to make the decision. I think it would be stupid for them not to go after Rodgers and give him that money, because if he does have one more kick at the can in him, you'd put yourself in a good position.
And the people saying in here, like, this diva talk about Rodgers, he said he had personal stuff going on while he was on Pat McAfee. Yeah, he talked about how he has, like, a significant other now, and he talked about how he had to reevaluate his inner circle because somebody was leaking out stories. Like, there's too much smoke that there's not fire, that Aaron Rodgers is a diva, and that's why he's holding out. Like, I'm sorry, I don't buy the personal issue narrative when we're having Mike Florio saying he's heard from multiple sources that Aaron Rodgers is holding out because he didn't want the Steelers to get primetime games.
Yeah, we know that side, but we know Rodgers is a diva. I'm looking at it from the Pittsburgh Steelers side of things, the organization. That's where I'm looking at it. And then I'm looking at it like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I know that, okay, I'm a much better player than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I see him probably trying to figure out, all right, I'm going to hold out until I get the money that I know I can get from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's probably trying. They're both playing chicken with each other right now to see, you know, who's going to be able to either get more money or save more
also,
money.
Also, I'm feeling spicy, like people in Twitch. He's not coming off an Achilles. He played last year. He stunk last season. So, yeah, he's still coming back from an Achilles at 70 years old. Sorry.
Yeah, he did stink last year.
Like, people, it was 2 years ago, not last year. Yep, I'm aware.
Also, the age shaming is not necessary. I mean,
he's old.
He's 41.
Many of us thrive into our elder years.
Not as a professional professional football player.
Right. Wiggy thrived last night. And Greg, I would add this. I don't think Rodgers is going to be successful in Pittsburgh at all. Like, you have to be psychotic at that age to be in shape, learning a new offense, working with your team. You have to be obsessed with winning. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy that shows me every year, as long as he can find someone to blame, he'll back off. And, like, it's not – we all got spoiled by Brady at 41, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, that is the exception. That is the anomaly. We saw it with Aaron Rodgers last year when he thought he could just come back and join the Jets and be fine. Like, you have to be absolutely insane. And Aaron Rodgers may be insane, just not football-wise.
Well, I think Mike Tomlin is going to get sick of the Pat McAfee stuff pretty quick, too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that Mike Tomlin, I kind of agree with Curtis. I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to be good if he gets to Pittsburgh. I'm just looking at it, who's the best available quarterback out there for a playoff contender. And if Aaron Rodgers didn't want to play, he would have told everybody he's retiring. Right? So we know he wants to play. And
yeah, but he has one opportunity.
Right.
It's just, it's douchey when you know where you're going and you know that you're the option that they want.
Right.
Like, just...
But it's a money thing, Greg. It's a money... In my opinion, it's a money thing. Like, don't give up the leverage when you have it until they give you close to what you want.
Yeah, I feel like also maybe what's creating some more time here for Rodgers before his decision is that the Saints need a quarterback. So maybe he's trying to leverage the Saints against the Steelers to get more money because of Derek Carr's retirement.
He's Derek Carr's retiring, and they took that Scrabeans. What's his name?
Tyler Shuck.
Oh, so, you know, I just based on what we know about Aaron Rodgers, isn't it safe to say everybody that he wants to play this year?
I would assume. I don't think he wants you to know that, but yes, I would assume that that's his intention.
Right, and I think if we know that he wants to play, and we know Pittsburgh needs a quarterback, a veteran quarterback at least, it just
he's the kind of guy who wants a Derek Jeter farewell tour. Like, he's the kind of guy who wants everybody to know, so he will probably tell
you. Right, like, this is my last year.
He will tell you heading into it that it's his last season.
Right, and I think that's probably what he's doing, setting himself up right before training camp start. Like, you know, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Then, boom, Greg, you're right. You know what? I'm going out. It's my last year. I agree with Pittsburgh. I think that we have a great team, blah, blah, blah.
But it's not going to work with Mike Tomlin if he thinks he's going down there and telling Mike Tomlin what to do.
But I don't know if maybe he goes into it initially and who knows how true it is. Like, he'll tell us, like, oh, he respects Mike Tomlin. So maybe initially he has some respect for him. And the offensive coordinator down there, I believe, is Arthur Smith. And I'm not sure if there's been a relationship or maybe there's some respect level there. But that's what he'll tell us in the beginning. And you'll believe it with Mike Tomlin, because don't you feel like Mike Tomlin could at least get Aaron Rodgers to kind of buy in for the first four weeks of the season?
But think about it. Mike Tomlin got annoyed when Juju Smith-Schuster was, like, doing TikToks in the locker room. Like, I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to make Mike Tomlin want to pull his hair out.
Yeah, I think the other thing, though, like, I know that the Steelers front office and ownership is firmly behind Tomlin, and they should be. Ken is connected in that area. You know, he talks to me often about how the fans there are tired of Tomlin somehow. Like, they legitimately, there is a pressure on Tomlin to win that we may not see outside of Pittsburgh, especially when you hear guys like Derek Cullen. That he needs Rodgers or a good quarterback almost as much as Rodgers needs them right now.
Like, first time I've ever heard Ken and connected used in the same sentence.
Yeah.
That is a great point, though, when you think of Tomlin down there. I bet you Steelers fans, and I know we talked to Derek, the Steelers fans, but they probably view Tomlin as being overrated, having all this, you know, talent and only being able to win. Aren't they one of the teams that haven't won a playoff game in some ridiculous amount of time, but it seems like they're always in a playoffs?
Yeah, it's several years.
Right. So I bet.
Well, now, he does. He almost always makes the playoffs. I mean,
wow. Right. They always have winning seasons, but they never get over that hump. And I think Steelers fans are like, yeah, you got us one Super Bowl. What have you done for us lately?
The Steelers' last playoff win came in the AFC divisional round of the 2016 season before they came to Foxborough and lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game in the Super Bowl 51 Falcons-Patriots year. So they have not won a playoff
game.
9 years. Holy guacamole.
Yeah.
That's a long
All right.
time.
Well, the Aaron Rodgers watch, I guess, will continue. If you would like to be on this morning, the number to call is 617-779-7937. You can text on that same line, the Subaru of New England text line, and you can find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. We are in Bermuda, and we are here. We're here for yesterday's 32nd annual Craig Hill Classic Golf Tournament to benefit the Craig Hill Foundation. Coming up at 9, Craig Breslow, Red Sox front office report at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue.
And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We can also talk Patriots schedule. It came out last night. We really haven't talked much about it yet to this point. Let's go through, Keith, game by game, 60 seconds each. On the clock. Yes. We do it every Thursday at high noon. Patriots schedule. Let me take this one first.
You want to go first?
If you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Put me on the clock, 60 seconds. Okay, Pat's schedule breakdown in just 60 seconds. Home opener. Patriots are going to beat the Raiders. Brady in the building. McDaniels against his former team. That's a W for the Pats. However, first road game, they're going to lose at Miami. Don't play well in Florida in the heat. They are going to come home and win back-to-back home games. Pittsburgh and Carolina. Win-win. Then they get three straight road games. Bills on Sunday Night Football. That one's a loss, obviously. But they're going to beat the Saints and the Titans. They're going to split their next two at home. A win over Cleveland. A loss to the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're tougher than you do, Keith. They're going to lose at Tampa to Keith's guy, Baker Mayfield. They're going to return home and beat the Jets on a short week, Thursday Night Football. They're going to have a long layoff to play Cincinnati, who they beat a year ago, but they lose to the Bengals. They're then going to come back home, win on Monday Night Football against the Giants. Then they have a nice time to stretch out their legs on the bye. Final stretch, back-to-back losses, Buffalo and Baltimore. They head to New York. They beat the Jets. They drop the home finale at home against the Dolphins, 9-8. They're in the wild card mix. I think they're a playoff team.
Wow.
Duck boats. 9-8. Not quite duck boats, Keith.
All right, let's see how we can do.
That's an easy schedule.
It's not bad.
Okay.
See if my voice can hold up for this.
Let's toss Keith on the clock. 60 seconds. Go.
All right, I have the Patriots winning the opener. You welcome Tom Brady back. You say, hey, look at it. It's Tom Brady. He owns the team, and you beat him. You beat the Raiders. You're up. You're 1-0 to start the year. You go down to Miami, where even Tom Brady couldn't beat him, so you lose that one. You're 1-1. You play Pittsburgh. Who knows who their quarterback's going to be? So now you're 2-1. Carolina, they stink. You're going to be 3-1. At the Bills, no shame in that. You're 3-2. This next stretch, they're going to go on a four-game winning streak. They're going to face three rookie quarterbacks and Michael Penix. You're going to get Shuck at New Orleans, Cam Ward with Tennessee, either Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel at Cleveland, and Penix with Atlanta. So you're now 7-2. You're going to lose to Baker Mayfield. Just tip your cap to him because he's an elite player. You're going to beat New York at home. You're going to lose at Cincinnati. You're going to beat the Giants on Monday Night Football. So now you're 9-4 going into the bye. Unfortunately, three straight losses are in front of you. Bills, at Ravens, at Jets. But you win the final game of the season against the Dolphins. 10-7 wild card.
Wow.
Duck boats. We were more similar than I thought.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
we did tier them the other day.
Our games were different. I thought
Well, I thought there was potential you were going 14-15 wins the way you were talking about over there.
No, I was shocked because all along I was like, well, they won four last year. They could win eight this year. Like, yeah. But then when you really look at it, you're like, I can't pick them to lose to Carolina.
No.
I can't pick them to lose to the Giants. Like, they have a lot. That's the best schedule you could ask for. It is funny, though, the toughest games are at the end.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a chance you hit your bye week with a crazy good record and you could lose out no problem.
I mean, Buffalo-Baltimore at the Jets is the worst place to play them. And then you get Miami, who has kind of owned you the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
Although that could be a cold game. You'll be home for that
That's true. That usually does work out in their favor historically. So you have 10 wins in the playoffs. I have 9 and in the playoffs. That's close, though.
Yeah, that's going to be tiebreakers, right? There's going to be some other team. So, like, if you look at that list.
The Bengals last year were 9-8, didn't get in on a tiebreaker.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that game against Cincinnati could come down to it, right? The game after Thanksgiving, they play Cincinnati. No, but it is, there's a stretch there where I think if you think they're going to make the playoffs, like you and I both do, the first 9 games of the year, you gotta kind of pile up wins. Yeah, I have them at 7-2.
You have them 7-2. I have them 6-3 through Atlanta. What week is that?
Atlanta's week 9.
Yeah, so I have them 6-3.
So they don't have the bye until week 14. So it's a late bye on that one. At Miami early in the season, you know, whatever. Pittsburgh is an interesting one because, like, we don't know who the quarterback is. That could be a wide range there. Yeah, you mentioned more primetime games. So they play Sunday night against the Bills. They play Thursday night against the Jets. They play Monday night against the Giants.
I got them 2-1 in the primetime games. I did not expect 3 primetime games for them. So that's a good sign. That means the league thinks you're a little more watchable and interesting than maybe we thought.
Right. One of them with the Giants, like, you're actually carrying that game.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention you have both a McDaniels and a Vrabel revenge game.
I was going to say, the Vrabel game at Tennessee is a lock.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're probably both maybe a little too cavalier about that Raiders game. That might be a more difficult game than we're giving it credit for.
Oh, yeah.
But
no,
I marked it down as a win.
Worst case.
Start the year at home. You beat the Bengals week 1 last
worst
year,
Worst case slash, like, realistic outcome, I guess, could be 0-3. Because if you lose to the Raiders in, like, a hard-fought game.
We both think you're losing week 2.
And then Pittsburgh's more of a coin toss game.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's another one. I'm not afraid of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not.
Excuse me.
That's at home. So I don't know. I think we
You're
went
just giving them Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we went through the schedule the other day.
Rudolph.
I think they are. I think they're going to have Aaron Rodgers. But when we went through the schedule the other day, we didn't know where it fell. We didn't know where it was situated.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh. If it were later in the year, I might pick Pittsburgh.
Right.
We knew they were coming to New England. Where they're getting them, it feels like a good spot, to be honest.
And, I mean, we've known the home and road teams for a long time now, and what was pretty remarkable is the home games are most of your easy opponents. So
they're
a joke. So I guess that's kind of good.
It's great.
You just have a better chance than some of those tough road games.
We're burying the lead here. You have 10 wins in the little playoffs.
Yeah.
I have 9 wins and sneaking into the playoffs. We're both taking over on 8.5, which I think is the over-under for the team,
most
to where you can shop.
Yep.
So go hammer that. This is a fair point, though, by the text line.
Uh-oh.
617-779-7937. You guys also had the Red Sox as a typo.
Red
there, I think.
Sox, I get it.
In the World Series. That was me. I don't think Keith actually did.
No, I did not.
I did.
I'm losing to Bobby Witt. In the ALC ass.
So you got him in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
I take your record opinions with a grain of salt. Well, that's fine, sir.
Although,
or ma'am.
To be fair, sir, not to pat myself on the back, but somebody's got to do it. Last year, I was technically wrong. I predicted a 3-win season, and if they just lost the final game of the year like they should have, they would have been 100% right.
So you're patting yourself on the back for being wrong.
So close, though.
Okay.
But for being so close.
Gotcha.
Last couple of years, I've been all over it. I think I said 4 wins the year before, four or five.
I think at one point I had him at like 12 wins last year. So I don't have a great track record personally when it comes to this. El Prez has the Patriots going undefeated, Keith.
17-0.
Yep.
They have had an undefeated regular season before, so it would not be the first time.
They've never gone 17-0 before.
No, that's true.
They've gone 16-0.
They added a game.
Yeah. 18 wins and one giant loss is how Giants fans will say it.
That's true. I've heard that. Now, they are going to be, favored in,
a
lot of games?
This is incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I knew the over-under was 8.5. I knew people were pretty bullish on the Patriots. Like, in all honesty, I picked them for 9 wins yesterday. I felt like that was high. Then I heard you had them for 10 wins. I'm like, wow, I'm lower than Keith. Mm-hmm. Then I saw
Oh, some of these are nuts.
I mean, I think Curran picked him for 9, which surprised me based on how he's kind of talked about the long-term rebuild.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that's what I saw.
Did he have 9 last year?
I think Curran?
I feel like Curran had him for a bunch of wins last year. I could be wrong. I thought last year.
I think you're thinking of the Mac year.
Oh, was it? Not last year.
The wins were everywhere was the Mac year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Late in the season. But no, Curran had him at 9 wins. I think I saw Taylor Kyles. Had him at 13 wins or something like that. Like crazy, not like bullish numbers on the Patriots. Wow. Okay. And Prez has him 17-0. Whatever. I know what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's
fine. That's
fine. But people are bullish on the Pats. They're 8.5 is the over under. I saw this yesterday. Nick highlighted this from an individual, Julian Edlow at DK Sportsbook. DraftKings, the Patriots are favored in 11 games. 11. You ready for the games they're favored in, Keith?
11.
They're favored in
that makes sense.
They're favored in the opener, 3.5 against Vegas. They're underdogs at Miami, week 2. They're favored at home against Pittsburgh, week 3, though we don't know who the quarterback is yet definitively. Do you think Rodgers moves it off 1.5? Would the Patriots go from being favored to underdogs there?
Could be.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
They're favored against Carolina, 3.5, week 4 at home. They're 8.5-point dogs at Buffalo, week 5. They're favored against New Orleans and Tennessee. Those are both road games. They're favored at home against Cleveland. 5.5. They're favored at home against Atlanta, which surprises me. I know that doesn't surprise you. They're dogs against Tampa. They're favored at home against the Jets. They're only 4.5, same as Tampa. 4.5-point underdogs against Cincy. They're 3-point favorites against the Giants. They're 4.5-point underdogs at home against Buffalo. 8.5-point dogs at Baltimore. So that and at Buffalo and at Baltimore are the two biggest games where they are massive underdogs. And then they're favored their final two at the Jets by 1.5. Home against the Dolphins, -2.5. They're favored in 11 games. So at some point, Keith, and I don't want to go full Andy Hart, who called them overrated yesterday.
Wow.
At some point, do you look around and go, wait a minute. Everyone's bullish on a 4-win team from a year ago that was drafting 4th overall with a guy who may not even be a tackle. And, oh, by the way, they spent a lot of money in free agency. But all they have to show for it is Harold Landry and 1 Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Steph Diggs coming back from a massive injury. Like, is it possible?
Oh, definitely possible.
Is it possible we're all just like getting sucked up into the easy schedule and overrating the schedule and not focusing enough on the actual roster?
Duck boats. A little bit. Yeah, no, definitely. I think even the Drake May conversation is worth having.
Good
like, how good is Drake May? You
let's
and I are.
Let's have it.
Let's have it right now. I think he is getting anointed as being like this next great thing. I think there's a chance that he is, but he really won 1 game last year. And I know he had a lot going against him. But how much better is the receiving core? How much better is the offensive line? I think it's better, but we'll find out just how much better it is.
They're both better. Are they better enough to take you from a 4-win team to 11 wins? Their favorite in 11 games? That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's also why I had them with 10 wins was because of the opponent. And I know like our, most of the conversation probably should be just like, what are they? What are the Patriots? How good are
they? But just quickly. Just
they play a lot of scrubby teams.
They do. Not to split hairs, though, but you have them, I guess, dropping at least one of the games they're favored. Like, even you are under that number. It's only a game.
Yeah.
But even you are under that number. I'm 2 under that number. So, and I thought we were bullish on the Pats.
What works in their favor is most of the bad teams they play at home. So what might have been sort of like a 50-50 one, you feel even better about it. You're like, oh, they got the Giants. Well, the Giants are at home. You know, Carolina's at home. Pittsburgh's at home. Cleveland and Atlanta. And then obviously all the division opponents. So you're like, those are all games they should really win.
Wait, did you say this? Are they underdogs in any games at home?
Probably the Bills game.
The Bills game at home, you're right. They're 4.5-point dogs. That's the one. Yep.
That'd be the one. And they have more home games than road games this year, right? Like that alternates every year based on conference, I think. And so their toughest games are on the road. So you're like, all right, those are the ones that they're going to be underdogs in. Those are probably the ones that a lot of us pick them to lose. So it's a good schedule anyway, but then the way that the home road ones landed, you're like, oh, I feel pretty good about that.
The way it falls is particularly great.
I also think, you know, Mike Vrabel maybe gives you a little bit of a floor. Now, I guess we thought the same thing with Bill Belichick, and they won 4 games his last year, but this team has more talent than that team does.
And they were so poor. They're probably just thirsting for being well-coached because they were so poorly coached last year. I think they've been poorly coached for years now, but if you want to give Bill the credit.
No. I think I was wrong. I'm just saying, like, I thought, all right, you're in a spot where, like, you can't win less than, say, 6 games with him, can you? It's like, oh, yeah, apparently you can. But, yeah, the last 2 years it was really bad. So not only do you change the entire – almost the entire coaching staff. But then you do add a lot of talent, and you could argue, like, oh, I wish they added a little bit more talent at position X, Y, and Z compared to what they did, but they still added a lot more. I mean, they're going to have how many different starters? We went over this, I think, a couple weeks ago, or maybe right after the draft. I mean, out of the 22 straight-up like starters on offensive defense, they would have 14 different guys or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's a positive.
I initially wondered if we were taking the Raiders too lightly week one, Keith.
Yeah.
Like, we both chalked it up. We're like, win. Easy win. I don't know if we said easy, but we chalked it up as a win.
Yeah.
It's Vrabel's first game, although it's Pete Carroll's first game, too.
Jerod Mayo won his first game.
Yeah, good point. They're on the road. They're going cross country. I assume Brady will be related to that game in some way, shape, or form. But
yeah,
maybe,
I think, but maybe not.
Maybe not. No announcements yet on a Brady statue. We thought we were getting a Brady statue. I haven't seen any update there. They are 3.5-point favorites in that game. So that makes me think, all right, well, Vegas is maybe even more bullish on them overall and specifically in that game than we thought. I said this in the Friday 4-pack. I like that the Jenty Campbell decision is in your face right away.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like that it's right there week one.
No, that is pretty
good.
And
if Campbell's holding down Max Crosby and Drake May has a big game and he's protected and his uniform's clean, well, then great. Score one for the Pats. If Jenty runs wild all over him, then score one for me. Because that's who I wanted at pick four. I like that that's their week one. Pete Carroll's interesting. We'll get Malcolm Butler highlights and things like that. Vrabel's first game, Brady, McDaniels, all that stuff around the game. That is, the more I think about it, that is a very, very interesting and, exciting potentially.
Because you know who looked pretty good in Foxborough last year was Geno Smith. He was throwing the ball over the yard.
Yeah, he was part of the reason I had the Patriots starting like 4-0 or whatever last year. Yeah. I'm like, well, they're not going to lose to Geno Smith at home, and they did.
They sure did.
And they got kind of smoked.
But to Mayo's point, close game.
Well,
you know, they lost a close one.
Yeah, to say that they got smoked as a team, fair point. It was a close game. Geno smoked them, though.
Geno had like a perfect, like, he was awesome.
True. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Patriots and their schedule. Are we starting to look around and go, wait a minute, everybody's bullish on the Pats?
Yeah,
they're favored in 11 games? Is that a little too much?
A team does go from worst first every year.
That is true.
It does. But was Washington favored in 11 games last year going into it?
Probably.
Like, they came out of nowhere. Was Houston favored in 11 games going into the year? I doubt it. I'd be surprised if Washington was favored in hardly any games last year.
Washington,
when the schedule came out.
Let me tell you. Last year, I can tell you Washington's over-under for wins was
going into the year?
6.5.
Yeah.
So the Patriots is 8.5. Oh, it's 7.5 somewhere. I guess it's weighted odds.
DK
8.5.
DK has them at 8.5, okay. And they're favored in 11. I can't imagine the Commanders were favored in 11 games last year.
No, probably 6 or 7.
Or the Texans the year prior. I can't imagine that.
I'm not sure Adam Schefter knows that everyone's predicting they win 10-plus games. So if he's saying they're going to win more than people think they're going to win 10. He's got them winning, what, 12? 14?
Undefeated season.
Well, he's probably just saying, you know, he thinks that they're going to win more games than what Vegas thinks. The odds makers.
So he's betting the over.
He would be betting the over.
Oh, everybody's betting the over. Is anybody other than me betting the under?
I don't hear anybody. I haven't heard anybody. And I haven't heard a good case for the under yet. So
genius walks alone.
I still got to hear your reasons why. Other than everyone else says they're going to win a lot of games.
That's why they're overrated. Why they're overrated is because everyone thinks they're going to win a lot of games. That's fine. The definition. The reason that they're going to lose games that I think people are handing them is they have a lot of questions as a team. The offense is littered with questions. Changes, but questions. The strongest argument that the offense is going to be significantly better is two words, Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
But, like, he is a proven commodity. I trust him with a star quarterback. I trust him with a young quarterback. I trust Josh McDaniels. So I'll give you that. That's better.
Weird. I can't imagine. You just think that the receiving core isn't better.
We'll see.
That the offensive line isn't better. Running back room isn't better.
We'll see. My biggest concern about the O-line comes from an interesting source. You know what his name is? Ted Johnson.
No. Come on, man.
I
said worthy of a fourth overall pick. That was my issue with Will Campbell. Not that he's not a good player, is that he wasn't worthy of a fourth overall pick with the short arms.
With the short arms when he faces Miles Garrett.
This is you talking.
No, but that's my point. I'm taking your argument and looking at a schedule where there's pass rushers.
You love Will Campbell, so why are you using him against me right now?
Because I can acknowledge, even if I love somebody, like I love Drake May. I watched him last year. My love, my expectation and projection of how good he can be did not manifest itself at all times consistently on the field. Is that fair?
That Drake May's
wasn't great last year. He showed signs.
No. He wasn't. No.
Okay.
No. But he was. I thought he was. He was good, and he showed signs of being brilliant.
Right. Signs of being brilliant. Whereas, for example, a comparison for me would be C.J. Stroud was brilliant as a rookie. Was absolutely brilliant as a rookie. Wasn't as good the next year, in part because the offensive line wasn't good. They took a step back, so much so that their wunderkind offensive coordinator guy got fired.
He leaned on the running game too much, and that the coach and the rest of the offense was unhappy with that.
And C.J. Stroud didn't play as well. No. And they had injuries at receiver.
Didn't. And they had offensive line issues. Now, if I may sort of like do a little conversational Aikido football style and redirect your energy back at you, you just said that Drake May wasn't great. Last year.
Correct.
He showed signs of brilliance. I think we can all agree. But C.J. Stroud was great 2 years ago when he had healthy receivers and he had a healthy offensive line that was much improved that became the focal point. Plus, he had competent offensive coordination. And now Drake may have competent, if not next level elite offensive coordination, a healthier plus level offensive line, multiple running backs worthy of starting, and a better receiving room. Egads, why are we all such honks?
Yeah, I don't know if all those are true. I don't know if the offense.
I said
who's starting
should.
On the line, but who's it's should?
That's we're in should okay. season. This
See,
is
I think
we're
in maybe.
Should Sylvania.
I think you're in maybe season. That's what I think.
Well, everyone should maybe.
I don't just assume the positive.
Just make everyone eight
I look
and a half.
At the questions.
8.5 for everybody.
So that's for every team. So right, I mean, every team's it's all maybes.
No,
there's no,
I
don't, no. You can't say do you know for sure what you're getting from the Las Vegas Raiders this year,
no,
or from the Miami Dolphins, or from the Jets. So how can you say that the Patriots aren't as good as those teams when you don't know how good those other teams are?
That's my exact point. But everybody's putting them above those teams. Like, we're going to play audio later where the second best team by far in the East is going to be the Patriots. I think the first best team
is by far
the Bills.
You don't think the Patriots on paper are better than a lot of these teams they're playing? The odds makers has them, and thank you, Fitzy, for sending this. The odds makers have them favored in what? How many?
11 out of 17.
11 out of 17 games.
Yeah.
When they were not favored to better than any.
Right. Zero last year. Right. Zero.
So that should tell you something.
What should it tell me?
It should tell you that the people who do the gambling for a living think that the Patriots are have at least 11 wins in them based off of the schedule and all the things that have gone on this offseason.
It also, you know, those lines are also set to get money on both sides. So
yeah,
by favoring the Patriots, you get people to bet for the other team. So a team that's overrated and everybody's gambling on, they want some people to bet on the other team, so they give them some points.
It's a decent indicator of what the wise guys think.
I guess. But it's also involving gambling and keeping the money spread out amongst both teams. So I think there's some of that. But the reality is everywhere I hear, and this is probably somewhat locally biased, although Schefter's not local.
By the way, he's not the only national voice who's on the over 8.5 train. We've got plenty more to share
is
with you
Mina
throughout
Kimes
the course of the show.
Told me they were the best team in football last year?
Why don't you tell everyone what a Mina Kimes fan you are?
I'm a fine fan of her work, other than the work that isn't good, and that was last year when she said they were the best tackling team in football.
Ted, can I ask you a question? I know you hate excuses. Yesterday you were busting everybody's sports chops about, here we go. Here come the excuses about the Celtics game. Now we're crossing sports over to football. Do you believe that one of the significant contributing factors to why last year's defense faltered excessively and became such a piss-poor tackling team was because the spine of the team, of the defense, the gut, Barmore out week one, Juwan Bentley out after week one, Jabril Peppers out after week two, the three best tacklers on the team all were gone. And then a bunch of people played out of position. Oh, and you had horrific coaching. It doesn't excuse away everything, but a majority of what people based their expectations on was just taken right out from under them by week three.
We do focus on just the offense. The defense is going to be a lot better, too.
Defensive
line, secondary.
Should be.
The middle of the defense. So it's really a totality thing, man. I just think they've gotten so much better in the coaching areas, both sides of the ball. Free agents, draft, it all on paper. We're just trying to predict what we see on paper. All the indicators that you see on paper take in all the other factors I've mentioned about the schedule, and it's hard to look at this team and not think that they are going to have, you know, some over eight wins. It's not the craziest thing, man. In fact, if gun to head and you had to bet,
I would take the under. If you put a gun to my head,
nice
I would
knowing
take the
you, brother.
But even don't throw anything at me or pull a gun on me. Even the defensive line, and I think the defense is going to be better. I think the defense with Vrabel's coaching and the talent upgrades at a bunch of spots could be better. But there's questions. Christian Barmore hasn't really played in a year plus. What are you going to get from Christian Barmore, assuming he is totally cleared and healthy from the blood clots, which we all know isn't an injury. It's a health
condition.
It's a condition. And Milton Williams, great, right? Until you double his playing time and figure out, can he take the doubling his playing time and not working in a rotation with Jalen Carter and Jordan? Remember the Vrabel joke? I hope you plan on playing a lot more than you did last year or whatever. Well, there's a little unknown there. Can we acknowledge that? That he goes from a 48% snap guy to a 83% snap guy?
We could do this all day.
Right.
We could do concerns on every player at every position.
But
everybody
some
wants to only do the... everybody wants to do the positive.
No. Let's offer reasonable positives. Like, hey, maybe Keon White. Hey, maybe you have less Jelani Tavai on the defense. Hey, maybe now Keon White is playing back in position, and you've got Barmore and Milton Williams pushing the pocket, allowing him to actually pressure the quarterback,
sure,
or use his freakish strength and frame to dominate along the line. Maybe now, because quarterbacks are going to have to hold on to the ball because you've got healthier safeties and two excellent, I'm not using the word elite, but two excellent outside corners in Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis. Maybe now, because quarterbacks are into four Mississippi and five Mississippi, the pass rush gets home. See,
sure.
This is what people are banking on.
Yeah, but I haven't heard a lot of this. I've seen more of this is going to be better, 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 this is going to be better. 11 wins, 12 wins, 10 wins. Where if
14.
If more people did that, where they said the pot, because I think the secondary could be really good. I think Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis could be
tremendous. Where are they worse at this year than they were last year? Let's go with that way. What are they worse at?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you got to have an opinion. Like,
wait a minute. Like, we don't know. Do I think they could be worse at tight end?
We don't. Yes. None of us know for sure.
Do I think you could get
projecting.
Old at tight end?
Do I think you could get worse
at receiver?
How are they worse?
Probably not worse.
You can't get worse at receiver.
Where are they worse? Tell me where they're worse on paper.
I was just telling you, and you weren't listening. Like, I think you could get older at tight end and suddenly look a little step slower. You didn't add anything at tight end. Wide receiver is the great unknown to me. I'm not going to say you could get worse because you were pretty bad last year. I just don't know that I see this grand growth that you see. I don't know that the pass rush is going to be dominant. I'm not totally sold that Harold Landry.
How about better
is
than?
Is it better? Is it better than last year?
I hope so. I hope so.
What phase of the game coaching is worse than last year?
Definitely, I can't tell you that. I haven't seen it. I saw how bad it was last year after 17.
Can you definitely tell me what they're better at?
No, I can't do that either.
So neither can you. Yes, I can on paper. I can tell
that's
you
not definitely. That's on paper.
We're trying to predict based on the projections.
So let me
on paper.
Ask you the question: where could they be worse on paper?
Where could they be worse?
Yeah. If we're just doing the on paper projecting, we don't know what's going to happen.
That's a good question.
Could
I don't
the
know
offensive line be worse?
No.
Probably.
God, no. You can't be worse than last.
But I would put that with wide receiver. If it goes bad, if you start a bunch of young, inexperienced players, it might not go well.
Dude, they were the worst. Okay, they were statistically the worst receiver room, worst offensive line, pass pro, and pass block last year. You can't get worse than
worse. They're not worse in any phase. Coaching?
Definitively.
Yeah.
Special teams.
On paper?
Rookie kicker, rookie long snapper.
Okay, that would maybe be it.
Joey Sly kind of sucked the second half of the year.
But if you base the kicker off of his production last year, it's an upgrade.
Well, but a college Miami kicker versus an NFL Northeast kicker.
It's a whole different job going from college to the pros.
In the Northeast? He already said his first week was miserable. He said he's going to learn. It's going to get better. But he already acknowledged that his first week in the weather was miserable.
Sure. And Will Campbell also said he's getting used to the fact that there's more trees than he expected.
So you don't think they're going to play close games that could come down to the kicker? Because I do. I think if they win what you guys are projecting, they better have some 3-point, 1 on a field goal kind of games.
Anyone else tired yet?
Oh, no. I could do this all day long. Getting the phone call signed from that was a good discussion, Stiz. You're right. I was neglecting the phone calls just a little bit because that was a good, passionate debate amongst hosts on the radio. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Derek in the car, not Derek Carr. What's up, Derek?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
So I kind of agree with everybody on the panel right here, and I'm a big homer as Fitzy. The problem is,
welcome,
and Ted's right, the team on paper is better all the way around, but I am scared to death that maybe Drake, he made some horrible decisions late in games last year that they had a chance to win. So, you know, he was hucking it to people 30 yards down the field when he had a guy open 10 yards and they still had a minute left in the game. I think he's the most unproven part of this roster.
Thanks for the call, Derek.
It's amazing. That's how most fans feel. You're saying that's – I think that's the undercurrent for any pessimism, is that the people don't believe in Drake May. And you've put your poll up, and it said otherwise.
Yeah,
but,
they said they liked him.
But, you know, I don't get that feeling. When I'm just walking around town, talking to people, a lot of people just don't see what – I don't know. I see. I think – I don't know. If you think he's brilliant, I think you're –
I think he's going to be brilliant. I don't know if the brilliance will be week one against the Raiders, against Max Crosby pressure in a tight game. I don't know.
My answer to his would also be just, look, they're behind in games, so the defense couldn't get off the damn field, and so he was forcing balls. And so a lot of the interceptions at the end of games were because they had to be aggressive and push the ball
just
down.
Just utter ineptitude. The only thing I'll offer, because I know we are radio terms coming 3-2-1, up against it, folks. His first game as a starter, his debut against the Houston Texans, 41-21 loss. Too many picks, couple of sacks, we get it. But at the same time, there were flashes of brilliance in the face of maybe the best pass rush in the AFC last year in Nick Anderson on one side, who was eating up DeMondre Jacobs, and Danielle Hunter, who was devouring Vidarian Lowe on the other side. And yet still he was able to toss not one, not two, but three touchdown passes. So I think they'll be able to handle Max Crosby. They have 5 months to game plan for him.
Everything's great in Patriot Nation, baby. This team is underrated. They're going to go 17-0. It's on the table. 617-779-7937. Continuing to debate the Patriots' schedule. How many wins do you see? How optimistic are you about Drake May? Let's get some Drake May callers. Ted thinks you have doubts about your franchise quarterback and you don't trust how good he can be with his year two jump. Let's get some defense of Drake May. That's all up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Win tonight for the Boston Celtics, and you can talk about that with Jones and Keefe when they get in here at 10, and you can listen to that talk on the radio, or you can stream it at weei.com, or you can tune in and watch Jones and Keefe. They watch this show, watch the WEEI afternoon show on YouTube or on Twitch, and this show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers, and go see them in Portsmouth, tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, if you're in the market for a diamond, because not only will they sell you one, but very importantly, they will teach you about diamonds. We are one more day here in Bermuda. It's been an unbelievable week. Great weather and a lot of fun. We are back in the city for Monday's show. And then Tuesday, it is the match at Granite Links at noon. And Thursday, we head to the Cape for roadshow number two of this fourth roadshow season. And we will see you all at the Trading Post on Thursday night for pregame next week, and then Friday at the Lobster Trap for what should be a great start to the long Memorial Day weekend. So
full-blown roadshow season now. We had our first in Springfield, which was awesome, and then we took a little bit of a hiatus for 2 weeks, and now we're full steam ahead.
We're on tour. We go straight through the early part of July and wrap it all up on Lake Winnie at the Dive.
The best part of the year, because you're getting ready for the summer. The end, like, September's beautiful, but you're just dreading the end of it. Now it's like, it's going to, from here on out, 8 o'clock sunsets, beautiful days, get to meet the listeners, go to a new city every week. It should be fun.
Yeah, and you said 80 today, Curtis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's going to be, I heard some bad news about the summer that I don't want to reveal right now. But
oh, no.
What, is it going to be rainy all summer?
Kind of a cool, rainy summer, according to some prognostications.
Stop.
That blows.
That stinks.
Where'd you get that, Farmer's Almanac?
No, I actually read it on a fortune cookie, so I don't know.
All right, let's, if we could, get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they would like to honor those who built this city. The construction workers, the drivers, the heavy equipment operators, the true heroes who built this beautiful city. Please nominate your hero when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com, and they could win some incredible prizes. All right, Jackson, where would you like to start this morning with They Said It?
Well, the PGA Championship is going on right now, and
There was a situation on the 16th hole yesterday with some muddy balls, and Scotty Scheffler had, had some strong opinions.
Curtis, clip that. What happened? Sorry.
Yeah, I will clip muddy balls.
What was the situation?
Scotty Scheffler.
What was the situation with? You just said it.
I'm sorry?
You said what the situation was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so here's Scotty Scheffler talking about
it. What was the problem? What was the problem?
He had mud on his balls. Muddy balls.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You were trying to get it clean. I got it. Okay. Sorry. I'm a little slow here. Okay. Here's Scotty.
Yeah. I mean, but Marty just asked me about that, actually, and I kept the honor with making a double on a hole, and I think that'll probably be the first and last time I do that in my career, unless we get some kind of crazy weather conditions. But, you know, like I said, it's one of those deals where it's frustrating to hit the ball in the middle of the fairway and get mud on it and just have no idea where it's going to go. And, you know, I understand it's part of the game, but there's nothing more frustrating for a player. I mean, you spend your whole life trying to learn how to control a golf ball, and due to a rules decision, all of a sudden you now have absolutely no control over where that golf ball goes. But, you know, I don't make the rules. I just got to deal with the consequences of those rules. And, you know, I did a good job of battling back today and not letting a bad break like that, which cost me a couple shots, kind of get to me. And did a good job battling after that and posting a decent score.
I was arguing for lift clean and play, Swiggy. Right. Are you familiar with lift clean and play?
No, because I thought you could just clean your balls you want to.
No. You got to have the lift clean and place rule, meaning that you can do that. And,
okay.
When it comes to the majors, I believe you are not allowed to. Now, I think he accepts it. Mm-hmm. Went on to say that he accepted it if it's at the British Open or somewhere where you know what the course is like. But here in America, he believes that he is being penalized because of the mud on the balls.
Why do they have that rule in place? Like, if everybody can do it, why isn't it that if your ball is dirty?
Well, that's the real way to play golf, is that's what they're thinking, is they don't want guys like lifting, cleaning, and then repositioning said ball. If ball ends up with a lie that is not favoring the golfer, they want the golfer to play it and the skill to overcome it. So
yeah, but don't they let you use a golf club length if the ball is in a certain area?
No, this is not a scramble.
Oh, okay.
At a tournament.
Can we have Wiggy do play-by-play of the match?
Right. Yeah.
He knows nothing about golf and refuses to learn anything about it. Refuses.
How many days are the tournaments, Wiggs?
Isn't it usually Thursday through Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Oh, well, not bad. All right. What's next, Jackson?
All right, shifting over to football, Schefter talked about the Patriots, and he thinks that they are better than people are thinking.
I'm going to make a prediction to you right now. The Patriots are going to win more games this year than people realize. They're going to be a better team this year than people realize. Had a strong draft, loaded up, and Mike Vrabel, he knows how to get his team ready and compete, and that's why they made the move, and I believe the Patriots will be one of the surprise teams this year.
All right. Can you get me a deal on a hotel too, Schefter? Thanks for that, Captain Obvious. Don't we all have them above? Don't we all have them at like 10 wins?
He is such a dink.
I don't know what is he saying when he says better than expected. You're right, of course. But is he saying better than 10 wins?
No.
Is he saying you're automatically a wild card team? You're automatically a playoff team.
Well, what does Vegas have them at?
8.5
Okay, so then he's saying over 8.5.
Right, but we all have them at like 9-10 wins. Vegas even thinks that they're going to potentially be close to being a playoff team. So he's not saying anything that's shot. If he would have said this last year, then maybe we'd be like, oh, okay. But they have the third easiest schedule in the NFL. We know that. We obviously know that they added an offensive lineman to protect Drake May. We know Drake May. We know the new coaching staff, Josh McDaniels, his track record. So I think our expectations, I would say the majority of people would be predicting the Patriots would win 9 games.
Wiggy is so right. If Schefter had said, I'm going to go against the crowd, he would say they're going to win 4-6 games.
Right.
That would be the uncommon opinion. And so, like, we should do that. We should say things in a really serious voice to make it seem like what we're stating has some level of importance to it or is somehow new. But it's not. Like, everybody, literally, social media the last 24 hours has been Patriots favored in 11 games this year. They were favored in one last year. They're going to win 10 games. That's been the overarching opinion.
Does it surprise you that the Sharps have it at 8.5, Curtis, and it's not higher?
No, because that's more than doubling. So in order to get the over, right, you have to more than double your win total the last 2 years. So,
and that's I think that's a good number because I think most people would probably take the over, right? 8.5, and most people. And then if you go over 8.5, 9 games, there's a really good chance, and, you know, just depending, but 9 gets you potentially a wild card spot or at least gets you in there a legitimate fighting chance. And if you get 10, then you definitely, you should be a wild card team.
All right, what's next, Jackson?
Well, speaking of which, our guy Hart has a very differing opinion.
Right now, I feel out of place in Patriot Nation because that schedule came out last night and everybody is optimistic. And suddenly I've realized that, and I don't know when exactly this happened, that a 4-win football team, a team that fired its coach and changed, oh, so many players on the roster this offseason. Ted Johnson keeps a list how many games and years of experience have been sent packing.
Yep. Over 50 now.
Somehow that team is now the most overrated team in the National Football League.
I wouldn't agree. Would you?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I don't really
most
understand.
Most overrated?
So what? They sent guys with 50
years. I guess Ted Johnson is saying that they guys are the guys that are gone,
right,
had over 50 years of experience, okay, so they have a lack
from last year's team.
Overall,
so all the players they've had combined, so like, yeah, Earmuffs, oh, okay, Courtney, the long snapper, and Jacoby Brissett have 10 years, okay, each. So that's, right, 20 years gone. Who cares?
Wiggy didn't get that it was combined. He thought Ted Johnson was talking about Gino Cappelletti.
No. I knew it was combined, but
you were just surprised to hear that number.
Yeah,
but when you break it down, it's.
But I'm with Curtis. So you're valuing Jacoby Brissett and Cardona.
Like he's valuing the leadership of a locker room, like the veteran, right, of a locker room.
The best thing that Vrabel did was get rid of leaders that had 4 wins in back-to-back years. Right. They aren't leading you in the right direction. What are we talking about?
And listen, we all love Ted, but I couldn't even tell you who our long snapper was. I mean, it was Lonnie Paxton. I mean, Lonnie, listen, great guy, right, but it wasn't like we were listening to what Lonnie was telling us to do. Like, Lonnie wasn't like...
He wasn't a big leader in the locker room?
No, he was a long snap. He's like kind of over there with the, you know...
And I know
pickers.
I'm a Joe Cardona homer, I guess, but with his Navy background, the Crafts definitely utilized him as a guy that they put out over and over again as like, oh, he's a leader of this locker room. It seemed like he brought the guys along to whether it was Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference or whatever. You can sigh, Curtis.
The Patriots used him because he's a great person, not because, right, he's a great player.
Well, I'm saying a great leader. See,
but leader where? The locker room?
Well, whether it was in the locker room
or in the community. I get a community. All right, so there's plenty of guys that have been great guys in the community, but leader in the locker room.
Wiggy's saying can never be a long snapper.
Nobody listens.
He's a kicker.
Yeah, or even a
snapper. And a kicker can't be either.
Yeah, even a backup quarterback is not I don't care.
Was Adam Vinatieri a leader?
No, because Adam did his thing. Adam was a great player that when we asked the team asked him to do something spectacular, that's what he did. But when it came to we needed a pick-me-up in the locker room or guys look like they weren't into it or guys were being lazy in practice or whatever it is.
Who did you go to when you needed a snow angel?
Huh? He makes a great snow angel. I'll give Lonnie that. But Lonnie wasn't like, you know, rallying up the defense and saying, hey, fellas, let's
Who was the Eagles' long snapper? We should sign him.
Cardona ended up in Miami. He'll be fine.
But so I would disagree when you start to say you lost that because you lost the backup in a long snap. David Andrews, okay, I can agree with you on David Andrews.
Yeah, I'm just giving I don't agree with what Ted Johnson and, right, Fitzy are saying. I'm just saying that's what I was trying to make it clear to you, that it was more of a leader.
So I wonder what Andy Hart thinks then. So does he think that this team is only a 6-win team or 7-win team?
Yeah, he has to, right? If he's I don't know. Why would sitting here today, the Patriots quarterback should be better than last year because it's his second year, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Your head coach is your head. You can argue about the head coach, but I certainly better than Gerard Mayo.
Yes.
The offensive line, better, can't be worse. The defense, which was meh, but the strength of the team, got
upgraded offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Much better coordinator on offense. I mean, you have Steph Diggs as your receiver. You still have Hunter Henry.
You got better everywhere. Like, everywhere on this football
tackle,
team,
better.
You got better. So, I don't get – and then you add the schedule in, and then the schedule comes out, and you go, okay, they got the third easiest schedule in the NFL. Your coaching staff is better. Your quarterback should be better. Your team is better. There, I don't see how you can't look and go, okay, this team – based on what we're seeing, and I get it, it's early on paper, but when they get into games at the late games that they lost last year, I think those are games that they now win, so which automatically makes you a better football team.
All right, well, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Coming up, we'll get to Courtney and to today's news. That includes Florida, not like the rest of us, and why some guys apparently are complaining about the unexpected happy ending in Florida. So we'll get to that.
And for later in the show, we just got it finished, wrapped up. Bill Belichick wrapped up his interview with Michael Strahan. We'll get the audio for that later on.
Let's do that at 8:20 this morning, Curtis.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. They're finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.